I'm Charmaine. I am the lead pastor here at Imprint Leicester. And it's such a pleasure to be able to stand before you guys today. And I'm seeing quite a few new faces. So if it's your first time coming to Imprint, you're welcome. And I'm seeing some old faces as well. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. It's good to see you. So we're just going to get into the time of sharing the word. Yeah, as Rihanna said, like, I just want to shout out the prayer sessions again. And this is not just us wanting to come and pray for the sake of praying. So if I can just lower my mic just a little bit, please. Thank you. You know, we really believe that God wants to touch Leicester, that God wants to move in Leicester. And this is something that God has been saying for years. And actually, it's in his word. You know, in the book of Acts, it talks about God wanting to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. You know, that he wants to encounter, he wants to touch everyone. That's always been God's purpose. That's always been God's plan for everyone to come to know him, for everyone to encounter him. And so in this season, we're just partnering up with God and we're just saying, God, we want to see it happen here in Leicester. You know, we've seen him do it before, like we sang earlier, but we believe that there is more that he wants to do. You know, some of us went out yesterday. We had evangelism, huh? Yeah. And it was just great just going out into the streets of Leicester, speaking to people and sharing the gospel with people as well. You know, we encountered some people that have never heard about Jesus before, that no one has ever told them about Jesus or the good news. And, you know, just through that opportunity, we just see that there's a real need and people are receptive. You know, that's a surprise. I think Winter came back and said, oh, I was so shocked at how people wanted to hear the gospel or how receptive that they were. And, you know, it's just making ourselves available for God to be able to use us to be a blessing in someone's life, you know, to touch someone's, for God to touch someone's life through us. So in this season, we're really praying for revival, that we want to see the move of God. We want to see God touch each and every person in Leicester. We want to see God, you know, that every person would get an opportunity to encounter with his love. How many of you have encountered Jesus and he's transformed your lives? I know he has in mind, right? So we know how the Lord has changed our lives. And we just want to make ourselves available in this season to say, God, use me to be a blessing. And actually, not just that we get to enjoy your presence, not just that we enjoy this truth and this peace that comes from knowing you, but we want each and every person in Leicester to do that. So if you're free, definitely come along to those prayer sessions. And again, maybe you live far away or maybe you're not able to come out, to come and join us in person. We are making provisions for you to join us praying online. And last Friday, it was amazing. You know, God spoke words into Leicester and we partnered in it with it and prayed into it as well, and we're just going to continue to do that for the for the next couple of weeks. And this is not just happening here in Leicester. You know, there's a movement all across the church. You know, God is stirring up revival everywhere. Why? Because it is his plan. It is his plan. It is his will that he, for revival to take place, for each and every person to see and to come into an experience of God's grace and God's goodness. So yeah, just want to encourage you to do that. And also just, so we've started a new series last week that really aligns into this as well. I titled the series, Where Will You Leave Your Mark? Where Will You Leave Your Mark? Because what you discover is that God can't move on the earth without someone being available to do that. You know, if God wanted to speak to you, how many of you, for you to even get to know Christ, it took someone coming to share the gospel with you, right? It takes someone coming, being available for that to happen. And in the same way, you know, that God used someone else in your life, God wants to use us, not just in the traditional sense of just going out and preaching the gospel, but in so many different ways. God has given each and everyone different gifts, different talents for us to be able to express his kingdom and for us to be able to express his goodness. You know, as I was preparing today, I was listening to someone preach and they were sharing a testimony of, I think something that happened in Russia. I can't remember the year, but this was back in the day. And so whoever was reading Russia told, he got a set of different people to come together and said, I want you to go out there and explore the different religions, you know. And different sets of people went to different places, and they all had to come back with an account. And the people that went to among the Christians, I think they went to Italy, to Rome, where the chapels were, right? And they came back with the testimony that it felt like we were, it felt like we were in heaven. It felt like heaven on earth. It felt like, you know, they encountered something different that all of the other people came back with, and they came back with a different testimony. And actually, one of the main ways that God ministered to them was through the art and the how beautiful the chapels were. And they were like, they experienced God through the art. You know, they felt like they were in heaven just through the art. And you know, that's someone, you know, that allowed themselves to be inspired by God through art. You know, I've heard of testimonies that there's a fashion designer, I think, in New York. She was like, God, she designs fashion. And she was like, she started praying one day and said, God, I want people to be healed when they buy my clothing. So what she started doing is that every time she'll make a garment, she'll pray over it. And there has been so many testimonies of healing that has taken place by people buying and wearing her clothing. You know, that does not seem like a traditional sense of, you know, standing up here or even going and laying hands on someone. But through her gifts, people are encountering Jesus. People are, you know, meeting with the love of God. And in the same way, each and every one of us, God has given us different gifts. God has given us different desires. And, you know, when we begin to express ourselves in the fullness of what God has created us, it allows us the opportunity for God to encounter those people. You know, I'll share a testimony from yesterday, and Carol, I hope you don't mind. But when we went out yesterday to evangelize, and I was with Laura, one of the girls from the Scent, and how we encountered Carol actually is that Laura just decided to smile. She was just smiling. We didn't stop her. I don't think we even had an intention of stopping her. We were just walking, just enjoying the view. I think we had pretty much done, we were finished like evangelizing officially. So we're like, oh, let's just take a walk. I was showing Laura and my two little cousins, Lester. And so Carol was like, oh, you're like, do I know you? Do I know you from somewhere? Just like your smile was just so radiant. And her smile grabbed her. And through just her smiling, it created an opportunity for us to have a conversation, for us to pray for each other, for us to meet and to, you know, have this opportunity. And after that, it was even a divine meet-up as well. So that's not us stopping and preaching the gospel. God was able to use the smile as an opportunity, you know, for us to encounter one another, for God to speak into someone's life, for God to touch someone's life. So as we go throughout this series, I want you to understand that, you know, this is beyond the walls of the church. This is beyond God using you, beyond what you think are your, like, you know, the traditional gifts. It's everything that God has given you to do. You know, we're talking about joining a team. So you see, we have ashes. It can just be through a smile or just how welcoming you are that God is able to use that. Or maybe you love baking or you love cooking. You know, God is able to use all of that to be a blessing in someone's life. So yeah, so we're going to go into the word. And today, I want to just talk about, you know, how God has called us to be co-laborers with him and what that actually means. And from what position are we meant to co-labor with God? Are we meant to work together with God? That's what co-laboring means. So I'll start. First of all, let's just go where actually we're called co-laborers of God. If we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. And you see, before this verse, Paul was talking about, he was just addressing some things in the Corinth church where, you know, some people are saying, oh, we're of Paul. some were saying, well, Apollos, you know, we belong to this person because he preached to us, or they kind of relate to us. But Paul was just addressing, was just telling them the simple fact that actually, you know, I might have been the one that came to you and planted the seed. So maybe Paul was the one that preached the gospel to them initially. But actually, Apollos watered. You know, he came, maybe he's the one that helped them mature in their spiritual growth. He helped them to grow up in their, you know, grow into more and more into the knowledge of God. But I said, actually, you know, we're all just like instruments of God within that. But it is God that brings about the harvest. It is God that completes the work. In the same way, you and me are just, you know, we're just instruments. So for you, maybe you've had a friendship with someone and you've been trying to share the gospel with them. You've been trying to speak to them about God. And it seems like nothing is happening. But actually, what we find from this verse is that you might be the person planting the seed. You might not be the one to see the seed come out of the ground and see the tree and see the fruits come out from it. But God is able to send someone else. God is able to send someone else that will bring that gift out, that will, you know, that will water that seed and then see the fruits of it. So in verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, his garden and his vineyards, God's building." You know, it says we are God's fellow workers. In other version, it says we are co-laborers with God. You know, his fellow workers again here. You know, I was asking myself this question. Okay, God, why do you call us like fellow workers? And what does that actually mean? You know, God is able to do all things, right? Then why do you need us to do it? I was asking myself that question, that you're able to do. I'm sure even if you send down your angels, they can probably do a better job at us at the moment, that, you know, to do something or, you know, to bless someone. But why is it that you require us or you want us to be a part of the process in blessing, you know, people? Even when it comes to God being a blessing to someone, he loves to use human beings to be a blessing in that person's life. God could just say, oh, you know what, I want to bless Aaron with money. So maybe we'll just supernaturally increase his bank account. You know, maybe Aaron will just wake up one morning and his bank balance has just changed, right? I mean, God is able to do that. But more often than not, when God wants to, let's say God wants to bless Aaron, he'll put on Rihanna's heart that, Rihanna, I want you to give Aaron, you know, maybe £200 or whatever it is, right? That's what God might do. So I was asking myself, but God, why? You know, it probably would be quicker. It would be easier. It would be faster if you did it that way. Why have you chosen to co-labor with us, to do this work with us? And so I want to take you through a journey through the disciples' lens. You know, Jesus demonstrated this through his disciples, right? He kind of laid out this principle. And one of the things that you'll discover is that it is less about the work than it is more about the relationship. That's one thing I've discovered. And I'll walk you through that. You know, God wanting to do, giving us these gifts and asking us to do all of these things, it is less about the end goal than it is about the relationship. And it's very interesting, but yeah, walk with me here. So if you open up your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 15 to, from verse 14. I'll start from verse 12. You see, this is when humanity, I think, got the biggest promotion when it came into our relationship with God. We got we were promoted from just God, you know, wanting us to do things. And I felt like, you know, that distance in doing things with God was kind of broken. It's through Jesus. And actually, we see Jesus here. So Jesus has walked with the disciples now. You know, they've walked with him. They've done miracles with him. And in verse 12 of chapter 15, it says, this is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love, no stronger commitment than to lay down his life for his own friends. You are my friends if you keep doing my commands. I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, because I have revealed everything that I have heard from my Father. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you and placed you and purposely planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit. And your fruit will last and be lasting. And so whatever you ask in my name as a representative, to my Father in my name as my representative, he may give to you. This is what I command you, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. You see, here, the disciples had walked with Jesus, but they were promoted. What is a servant, right? A servant does the commands of the master, right? I have a job, right? For the most part, I need to do what my boss has told me to do. I'm a servant in a different way, right? I'm there to do what I've been employed to do. So I'm the school's engagement and work experience lead. I'm there to do what I've been told to do. I'm there to fulfill what I've been told to fulfill, right? We have people that are doctors. They're there to be doctors. You know, if you're an accountant or whatever it is you are, you're there to fulfill that role. But actually, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. You see, as a for me, I receive orders. I've never met my CEO yet. Been in the company for 6 months. But a lot of the things that I'm doing were directed by her. They were commanded by her. You know, she's the one who wanted to get them done. But I don't have a relationship with her. I might not know the reasons why. I mean, I've probably heard it from other people. I've heard what she's like from other people. But me personally, I don't know what she's like. I don't know what her heart or intentions behind certain things are, you know, beyond what I've been told. And that's almost like the same thing here with the disciples, that Jesus was saying, before you were servants, almost just doing what you've been commanded to do. You know, when he sent them out, they did it. You know, before Jesus, you know, died, there was a point they were sent out in twos to go and preach the gospel into different cities, right? They were just doing it. And some of them did not have that deep relationship of understanding the heart behind why. They probably knew, actually, this is Jesus, of course I'm going to do it, because they have some form of knowledge with him. But with this promotion into friendship, it goes beyond, you know, doing things. It's almost like your driving force is no longer just simple obedience, obeying because of authority. You're not just doing what God has asked you to do because of, I need to do, right? In a master-servant relationship, it's just, what can I do for you? That's it. It's quite transactional. And you do it to earn favor. You do the work to earn favor. In the same way at work, you know, we have IGPs, which is like your performance reviews. How good you work can even impact your bonus, right? So you work hard to earn favor. You work hard to earn the reward. If I work hard, I'll be promoted. That's almost the place that you work. Someone put it this way, that, you know, servants work for their survival. It's almost like for them to live is based on the work that they're doing. So, servants obedience in the servant relationship is the primary thing. It's the primary thing driving them, because they know that if I obey, I find favor. But actually, when you come into friendship, while obedience is still important, the relational aspect becomes even more important. So it's no longer just doing things that out of fear that if I disobey, you know, I might not earn your favor. But in relationship, it's like, if I don't do this, I will disappoint you. And I don't want to disappoint you. You know, how many of us know that, you know, your parents can beat you, but if your parents tell you that they're disappointed in you, it's like, you should have beaten me. Because of just how deep that feels in relationship. It is sometimes more painful to disappoint someone you love. It is like, how many, like, you know, imagine, I don't know if you've ever had a friend come up to you before and say, what you did really hurt me, or you disappointed me there. Just think of how you felt in that moment. And so you're not doing things just because, oh yeah, Tayo told me to do this, so I'm just doing it. But actually, because I have friendship with Tayo, because I am his friend, and I know that Tayo enjoys this, I'm going to do it with him. Out of the place of relationship. Are you guys following me? Right. It's out of that relationship. Out of that relationship. So there's a difference. There is a shift. So it no longer becomes, what can I do for you? It now comes into, how do my choices affect you? How do my choices impact you? You know, how many of you in friendships, you've done things because you know it'll make them happy? You know, you've not bought a gift because it's something that you like. But you know that if I buy this, I know they're going to be very happy, right? I know they really enjoy this, so that's why I'm getting it. So it's almost like that relational side of them, that intimate side of them, that's what we're there for. And that is way more powerful than just doing things almost from a transactional perspective. And, you know, God the Father doesn't need us to accomplish the work, but he wants us to do it with him because he loves us. You know, another great example that I heard that really explained this well was someone talking about their child, and they were saying that, you know, I can wash the dishes probably in 5 minutes. But they had like a 3-year-old son. Said, but I love to do it with my son, because the joy that it brings him, it probably takes even longer, right? You're choosing to do it together because you bond in those moments. And so how does this relate to God calling us? You know, in us walking, being co-laborers with God. Actually, we start, when we think of it from the perspective that God calls us, and as co-laborers from a place of relationship and intimacy, not just from needing us or wanting to use us. You know, I think that kind of alleviates some of that, you know, God just wants me to do this because he wants to use me. That feels a bit more, I don't know about you, if you felt like, you know, I had to do this because I had to. It's a bit like, you know, I can be quite stubborn. If someone tells me to do something that I don't want to do, the fact that you've told me to do it, now I don't even want to do it even more. Or I will not do it from a place of, my heart is not there, 100%. But actually, when I know that this person loves me, and actually they have my best intention of heart, at heart, you know, and they ask me to do something, first of all, I even have the boldness to start inquiring, to start speaking to them about it. Okay, why do you think we should do that? Where's your heart behind this? And in the same way, when God calls us and says, I've given you this gift, you know, I've called you to this place, I've called you here, It's more so that he wants relationship with you, even in that journey. He's not just concerned about the end result, which is great, but actually he's more concerned about you. And then on your turn, when you do things from a perspective where you know that God has loved you, you're no longer doing things for God to earn his favor, but actually you do things from God's favor because you understand you already have it. You're no longer working because if you think, actually, God, if I pray long enough or if I go and evangelize to 200 people, you will love me or I'll be closer to you. But you understand that actually I am already loved by you. And because I am loved by you, I want everyone else to know it as well. You know, it changes our motivation to do something. You know, last week, Essie, when he was preaching, he defined ministry. And he was saying ministry, first of all, is out of our love for Jesus. Anything that we do out of our love for Jesus. Love has to be the primary thing. Love has to be the primary thing. And actually, when you understand that you are loved first, how you do things is very different. Or even the joy that you do things is very different. The enthusiasm, and people can feel that. People can know that. You know, people can sense that as well. So here, we've been called to work from a place of love. You see, in a relationship, we're no longer working for him, but we're working with him. It is a different story, right? We're not working for God alone. We're not just working for him, but we're working with him. One of my joys in Imprint Leicester or being a pastor is that I get to lead this with my friends, right? Most of the guys on team are my friends. And I think that is just so beautiful that I get to do this with my friends. And it makes a difference. It's not just that, you know, I'm doing it for them or we're doing this just for the sake of doing it, but I'm doing it with them. We're working on this together. And so it's not that God is calling you to use your art or God is calling you to use your creativity, but you want to create with him. You want to sing with him, right? You want to write with him. You want to be, you want to be impactful in business with him. You know, you want to be the best manager with him. You're doing it together, walking hand in hand together. And see, even if from that place of relationship, our identity is no longer crippled by the opinions of others. Why? Because if you're doing things for the love of people, the opinions will quickly cripple you. Or if you're doing things just because actually God has told me to do it and your heart is not really there, don't worry, the people, the places that you're going will be the ones that cripple you. But actually, when you're doing it from God, I'm doing this because I love you, and you stay in that place of continual relationship and intimacy with him, what people say don't matter. Their rejections don't move you. Their rejections don't move you. Why? Because you're like, God, I love you. And you quickly go back to the one that you find your identity in. That I was never doing this in the first place to find my worth, because I'm already found in you. And you see, one of the people that really shows, someone that really understood the importance of doing it with God was Moses. If you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, from verse 12. So at the beginning of that verse, at the beginning of that chapter, verse 33, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Depart, go from here, and you and the people whom you have brought from from the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. And it says, I will send an angel before you and will drive out the Canaanites and Ammonites, and yeah, basically named all of these other tribes. You see? You see? In a sense, God had already given Moses an instruction, right? Do we all agree? God had already given, in a sense, you have my go-ahead. You can go and do this. So maybe God has already spoken to you that I've called you here, or that the degree that you're in, I'm the one that's placed you there. You know, the job that you want to go into, that I'm the one that's calling into that. Or the gifts that you have, I'm the one that's giving them to you. And you know, the YouTube channel that you want to start, I'm the one that I've given you the go-ahead. You can go and do it. But Abraham does something really interesting. In verse 12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know your name. And you have also said, I found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, recognizing and understanding your ways more clearly, and that I may find grace and favor in your sight. And consider also that this nation, your people. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest by bringing you and the people into the promised land. You see, God has already said, my presence will go with you. But Moses said that wasn't enough. Moses said, actually, Lord, and Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me, don't lead us up from here. He said, God, I know you've said it, but just to make sure, from my end, this is what this looks like. If you're not going with me, I don't want to go. You know, the presence of the Lord represents the Lord itself. Calvin's presence represents Kevin being in the room, right? The presence of the Lord represents him, himself. And not only that, something was very interesting in his prayer. He said, I want to know you. As I'm going on this journey, I don't just want to perform your acts. I don't just want to know what you're doing, but I want to know you. I want to know the intentions of your heart. I want to know you. I want to know you. So even as we do the things that God has called us to do, that must always be the central thing. That God, in this, I want to know you. You know, yesterday when I went out and when we went out and we're evangelizing, I was saying, okay, God, what are you saying about, what are you saying and what are you doing in this moment? And it's almost like the more I went and the more people that I spoke to, it's like I could feel his heart for those people. You know, you see his desire to want to heal the brokenhearted, the desire to want to find the lost, his desire to want to rescue, his desire to want to bless. And so when you walk with him from that perspective, it's no longer just, okay, God, we're going to this promised land, but you want to inquire his heart, his reasoning behind those things. And you see, so this was the Lord's response. This is Moses actually continuing in verse 16. It says, for how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight? Is it not by your going with us that we are distinguished? Your people and I from all the other people on the face of the earth. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness, mercy in my sight, and I have known you personally by name. You see, maybe God is calling you into the corporate world and you're saying, God, you know, I don't know what you want me to do there. I don't know what that's meant to look like there. I don't know how you are going to distinguish me there. But actually, you see, Moses understood something, that it is the presence of God. It is the one that you go with that distinguishes you. And you see, we see this in the New Testament. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. The needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus, you know, after Jesus died, he told the disciples, and after he resurrected, he said, stay here. Don't go anywhere. Don't start anything. They'd already been given the Great Commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, right? They'd been told all of that already. But he said, stay here first, because you cannot go out there alone. You need to wait for the promise. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you first, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is God here on earth. He's the one working on the earth. And we can't do anything that God has given you to do without him. You can't do it well anyway. You see, even Jesus himself did not start doing anything until the Holy Spirit had come upon him. He did not do anything. You see, for 33 years, well, Jesus started at the age of 33, right? 30, that's it, 3 years, he died at 33. Jesus started at the age of 30. At 30, before 30, we'd never heard of him. But actually, even when he came about, when he was revealed, he didn't do anything until after he had been baptized by the Holy Spirit, when he was baptized by John and then the Spirit came upon him. But before that time, he had not done anything. He waited. No miracle took place. Nothing. And so in the same way, we need the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And that was the same with the disciples, that they had to wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit before they went about doing anything. And he's not just meant to come upon us for the signs and wonders and the power, but he's to come upon us so we can co-labor with him and walk together with him in relationship so that we can commune with him. That along the way, we'll say, actually, God, you're asking me to start a YouTube channel in this season. Okay, I want to understand your heart. I want to understand your desire behind this. You know, I want to understand your motives behind this. And, you know, the more you spend time with him, wow, God, actually, from speaking to that person, I've understood how you love in this way. You know, from me doing this, I've seen your power. I've seen another aspect of your character and another aspect of your love, right? By me expressing myself in this way. You see, one of the other things I wanted to mention tonight, that you know, a lot of you have desires that you've almost suppressed and you've not been doing because maybe you said that you don't have time or you don't think it's of God. You know, one of the ways that God places gifts in our lives is through desires, right? It seems like it's something from you. But one of the ways to actually discover if it's from you is that you fellowship with God, right? One of the ways in which we refine our desires, because desires come from somewhere, right? You just don't desire, you know, something that you've never seen or heard about before. The same way I can't desire, let's say, an exotic fruit in the Amazon because I've never seen it, I don't know it, I've never smelt it, no one has told me about it, right? I can't desire it because there's not been communication about it. In the same way, with the things, if you want God's desire, spend time with him. Fellowship with him. You know, I never really used to be a fan of like Korean food or anything Korean, right? But I started watching K-dramas. And now my favorite food is Korean food. My favorite fashion is Korean fashion, right? But it was through actually, you know, watching it and spending time doing that. That's when I found that passion and desire. But actually, you know, before I liked nice clothes anyway, but it just made, I was like, wow, I really like this, you know, the formal fashion. I really liked it. But it just made that desire even more, right? In the same way, when you then spend time with God, you know, some of the things that you've even said, you know, maybe you like playing football. And to you, you just think it's just you, right? But as you spend time with God, you might be surprised that God is saying, actually, I am calling you to play football. Why? Because in your playing football, you encounter people in your conversations with the people that you're playing with, I want to encounter them and I want to meet them. Right? I want to speak to them. In you playing football with excellence, it radiates my glory. Right? It radiates my beauty. And so in all of these things, it's, you know, God is not just sending us out because he wants to use us, because really and truly, he can do it all by himself. But he wants relationship with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to speak with us along the way. He wants to show us his love along the way. He wants us to understand him more and more. He wants us to be a part of the process. You see, in this season, I feel for some of you that God is bringing you into a place where you begin to desire, even maybe things that you desired as a child. You know, maybe you were saying when you're younger, when I grow up, I want to do this. And maybe you've almost forsaken that and said, you know what, I don't have time for that. But actually, God is going to start bringing some of those things up, some of those desires. And you start to realize that that is something that God placed within you. You know, it says in Jeremiah that while you were still in your mother's womb, that I knew you. I knew you. I called you for a purpose. I called you for a purpose. And for some of you, maybe you've been saying, God, actually, if you're going to use me, I need to be a certain way. Or my character, you know, the way that I speak, you know, the way that I do things is not conventional. The way that I think is different to everyone else. But actually, God is saying that that is exactly what I want. That is exactly what I want. You see, God has made us all uniquely. He has made us all differently because we all almost show different aspects to God, of God, right? There's diversity within God, even when he created the animals. Come on. He didn't have to. How many species of each animal, when you watch David Attenborough, it will tell you, oh, there's 300-something species of flies. You're like, for what reason? Right? It could just be one. But he's created all of that uniqueness because God loves diversity. So your uniqueness is not your weakness. Right? Your uniqueness is not your weakness. But it's actually what God wants to use. Right? So, in this season where God is calling us to step out, in this season where God is revealing the different gifts in each and every one of us, don't ignore some of those things that, like, God, you know, it's just TikTok. Or God, it's just a sport. Or it's just baking. What can you use with that? It's just drawing. What can you do with that? And you know, God is just saying, "What? Give it over to me and see what I will do with it." And for some of you, you know, God has placed some of these gifts within you and you've been suppressing them. And maybe you've actually been feeling really unhappy and unsatisfied with life. You know, you're like, God, I'm worshiping you. Yes, I trust you. But there's almost like a dissatisfaction with life. Oh, Lord, I just feel like I'm striving every time. There's not much joy in the things that I'm doing. But actually, what you realize is that when you begin to step out and express yourself in the way that God has asked you to express yourself, you begin to find that satisfaction. You begin to find that joy. And actually, God delights in us. When we rejoice, we bring in pleasure as well. When we are satisfied, that's what brings in pleasure. Because what you find about, you know, if you ever speak to any parent, a good parent, when their child succeeds, they're so happy. They're so overjoyed. That's why you see at graduation, so many parents are rejoicing. It's their own degree. Why? Because why? Because when you're happy and when you accomplish something, it brings joy to them as well. You know, you hear of parents that are in, you know, when parents are in poverty, families are in poverty, you hear of mothers that will not eat for days, but they're okay as long as their child eats. And that's the love that the Father has for us. Exactly. Right? You see, this God that calls us, he's not only a king that commands from a distance, but he's also a father that loves us. He's a father that cares for us. He's a father that delights in us. And I want to close with the story of Mary and Martha. Because you might say, actually, just understanding you're loved, you know, just loving God and being in a relationship with God, does that actually get much done? Maybe if we're all loving God, we just spend all of our time, you know, praying at home. Would we get much done in the church? But actually, when we read the story of Mary and Martha, Martha was working. And you know, I understood this story from a different perspective today. Martha was working. She was getting things for Jesus, first of all, that Jesus never requested for. She was working hard, right, to do something for him that he never asked for. And then, because Martha was a worker, in a sense was a servant, she found, you know, her identity was based on her, like, you know, looking like the best person, I'm the best one. So comparison sipped in. And she's like, Jesus, look, I'm better than Mary. Like, tell her to come and help me in the kitchen. You know, and this can come in different ways in our lives that, oh God, I'm doing all of this for you. I'm doing all of this, I'm, you know, whatever it looks like, I'm doing everything for you. But actually the question is, did he ask you to do those things? And then on the other hand, we have Mary. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was communing with him. She was getting to know him. She was spending time with him. And while that almost looks like a waste of time, like Mary's not getting anything done, but actually Jesus came and said, Mary, Martha, like you bother yourselves with so many things, but actually your sister Mary here has chosen the best thing. And no one can take that away from her. No one can take that away from her. You see, in the grand scheme of things, lovers get more things done than workers. A passionate lover will always outperform a good servant in pleasing the Lord. The reason why they'll outperform is that, first of all, they will do exactly what God wants to do in that season. They will be as impactful as God wants them to be in that season. And also, because they're a lover, their drive and their desire to do things for him, to do things with him, will be even greater, so they will see more. And because they're lovers, they will walk. When they walk in the room, right, they understand, actually, I'm not here alone, but the Holy Spirit is with me. And so if they face something impossible, they realize that actually, it's not just me here. The one who is able to do all things is here with me. You know, when they encounter someone who's like, ah, this Jesus you're talking about, I don't want anything to do with them. The Holy Spirit will just whisper something, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom that softens that person's heart. So you see, yes, God has called each and every one of us. He's given us gifts. He's given us assignments. He's given us talents. But he did not just give us this thing so that we'll just work for him. But he's given us this thing so that we can even draw closer to him and do it with him. See, God is not asking us to do this work from a place of striving in him. Because when you're striving, you exert most of your energy striving. But actually doing these things from a place of love. Your desires will begin to align with his. You find yourself just wanting to do things that bring pleasure to him. And the beautiful thing about co-laboring, it's not one-sided. It's not just us doing things for God. You see, in the verse that we read earlier, Jesus didn't just say, you will do what my Father tells you. In John, Jesus then invites them and says, whatever you will ask of my Father in my name, he will do it. God then begins to co-labor with us as well. So, you know, there's almost this misconception that if you do things for God, that you will lose out in the end. But actually, it is a lie that the enemy has brought into his people. Because actually, the joy is in doing things with him. When you walk with him, the desires of your heart, first of all, when you spend time with him, your desires are purified anyway. So you don't really need to worry that, what if my desires are evil? Why? Because when you're spending time with him, your desires will not desire anything that's outside of his will. Because you're spending time with him. He purifies your desires in the place of prayer. In the place of reading the word, what you desire will be purified. So those desires that you have, you will fulfill the desires of your heart. But we're not doing this because we want God to fulfill our desires, no. We want to do this because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. He says, you're not even the ones that have chosen me. I chose you first. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. It is time for us to dream with God, church. It is time for us to run with God. To have adventures with God. It is time for us to do uni with God. It is time for us to do relationships with God. It is time for us to step out with God. With him. just for him because you feel obligated to do it. But we obey because we love. We obey because we love. You see, one of the words that I've always had a problem with was submission. And that's just because I thought, like, you know, submission is just because this person is this, you just have to do what they want to do. But what I found is that when you understand you're loved, submission is not even, like, you do things that without you even realizing you've done them. You're submissive in that sense. You submit your will or you submit yourself to them. Not because you feel like you have to, but because I love you, I want to do this with you, or I want to do this for you, or I want to walk together with you. And that's the thing with God. And so tonight, the invitation is for us to rise up and do the things that God has called us to do, but not by ourselves, but with Him. To say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to do this journey with you. That, Lord, yes, you're telling me do this thing, but unless you go with me, I don't want to go. And in this next season, you know, one of the words that we received when we're praying is that God is bringing many of you into a new season. That some of you are coming to the end of the seasons that you've been in, and God is bringing you into a new season. For some of you, it's almost like it's an end of an era. Maybe you're finishing uni, or maybe it just seems like, you know, you've been through a difficult season and that's just coming to an end. And maybe you've been confused, saying, actually, God, I don't know what to do in this next season. You've been asking God, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But do you know what? Our loving Father has a plan. He has things set out for you. He knows what's ahead. And He wants to do it with you. He wants to do it with you.